Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. The Reverend Philip Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Revelation chapter 13. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is, the name of the beast, or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for today's message is the reading that I shared just a moment ago from Revelation chapter 13. The presence of these beasts in the book of Revelation in chapter 13 are mysterious and certainly somewhat alarming. During these Mondays of chapel here at the International Center, we're making our way through those readings from the book of Revelation of John. And last Monday introduced the first beast. The first beast with his 10 horns and 7 heads and 10 crowns. The appearance of that first beast is outright gaudy. And my experience in life is that generally when someone has to surround themselves with that much gaudy adornment, you can pretty easily see that they're hiding something. That beast, with all of its pretense, its fierce strength of the body of a leopard, the feet of a bear, and the mouth of a lion, represents all the collective forceful attack against all earth dwellers, but especially with desired impact against the church. The first beast served as representative of the dragon, Satan himself. One of the heads of this first beast had that mortal blow, reference to Satan and how he was defeated by Christ and his cross and resurrection. And the reason that the dragon would use an intermediary like the first beast or the second beast that appears in our text today is that the beast or the dragon has been bound. Satan has been bound. He does not have free course. Certainly is allowed in God's economy to continue working here on earth through these mediaries, but Satan himself has been delivered the death blow. Even as Jesus appeared at the gates of hell on Easter morning and preached the victory of that resurrection to them before being seen by the rest of the apostles. But vicariously through these means, through these beasts, he attacks the church and threatens people to leave the faith by force. And we can see this manifested in our time as many would choose to grab power in this world. This world's all about power grabs. And those who have the power then can use that power to threaten those who would believe in Christ. We shouldn't be surprised, and yet it certainly is offsetting for us for sure. Yet our text for today focuses on the second beast. And while the first beast is the gaudy one with all the power and the adornment, it's the second beast that I think deserves great attention for us as God's people. Because his appearance is as a cuddly little lamb, described as only having the nubs of horns. So we can think of this precious little lamb that you would just want to wrap up in your arms and hold. And yet nonetheless, with that cuddly appearance, he still remains a beast, deriving his power from the first beast deriving his power from Satan. Where the first beast gave himself away as the instrument of Satan with all this audacious display of power, this beast comes robing himself in the image of the Lamb. For those of us who are those who believe in Jesus, the Lamb of God, this calls for special discernment on our part. Yet make no mistake about it that this representative of the first beast, this prophet of the first beast, is all about anti-Christ propaganda. Where force won't work because eventually people wear out responding to brute force, this beast takes over with his propaganda, taking control of all forms of earthly communication to constantly apply pressure on all the earth dwellers with the intent especially also of applying that pressure on God's people who are not the earth dwellers but members of the kingdom of God, to apply that pressure so that we would reject the faith in Jesus and, as is described here, to fashion an idol, an image in the likeness of that first beast. If you're honoring the first beast, you're ultimately honoring Satan who sent him. It's quite a picture, isn't it? It's complicated. I'm having to look at my notes more than normal for me in a message just to make sure that I get all of this straight. The attack, ultimately, of Satan is always on the church. But the impact, the deadly, destructive impact, really only has its impact on the earth dwellers. And in reading the book of Revelation, it is really important to see when that key phrase shows up, earth dwellers. It means those who have rejected Christ, those who live their lives on this earth apart from that grace in Christ. This second beast in verse 14 says, by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. This image that despite the fact that Christ defeated Satan in his resurrection, that somehow Satan is not impacted by that. That's the illusion. In John's revelation, there is this clear distinction, though, between the earth dwellers who are in the control of these beasts and those who belong to Christ, those who are part of the 144,000, those who have been sealed, those who bear the name of Jesus both on their hands and on their foreheads, those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus in holy baptism. For those who have been sealed in Christ, there is a separation from all this demonic, because we won't follow it. We will always follow the real Lamb, Jesus. And thinking about being sealed, I share with you some words of St. Paul from Ephesians chapter 1, where he said, in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that those who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with this promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. We've been sealed by God's Holy Spirit. We're part of God's chosen, his predestined, the 144,000, the perfect number of those who are being saved. So here are the beasts orchestrating all of this rejection among earth dwellers to Christ. But the saved, the sealed, understand all of that. Maybe experience difficulty, often experience difficulty because of that. And yet we remain in that inheritance that Christ has given us by God's grace. So then what is our struggle? The struggle is that the demonic propaganda, those forces represented by this second beast, so control the deluded thinking of the earth and of the earth dwellers that those earth dwellers not sealed in Christ are the ones who end up running the show here on earth. The temptation for us is to ask, is it worth to live our lives excluded from the lives that the earth dwellers creates? Is it worth in our life to exclude ourselves from all the benefits that come from being one of those earth dwellers? Isn't it easier just to go along with the beastly propaganda, to supplant our trust in Jesus, the Son of God, and to trust instead in the worldly forces? Those worldly forces that either first beast or second beast are all part of Satan's orchestra. But we say to ourselves, I don't want to suffer. I just want to get along. I want everyone to like me. I want to be considered accepting. I want to be admired by all the same earth dweller standards by which everyone else is judged. And our ears are full of that propaganda day after day after day from every medium that is around us, from schools and universities to government leaders to celebrities preaching about morals in the midst of a godless music award show. It's everywhere. The propaganda is everywhere. As the second beast, representative of all of that propaganda force, would make us look instead and say, there's better life if you just worship the dragon. Nevertheless, God has armed us with a mighty weapon. It's called wisdom. John, at the end of our text for today, as he's talking about all this work of the second beast, he says, this calls for wisdom. Wisdom is more than just being smart. Wisdom takes all of this knowledge that is dug up here on earth and applies it all through the lens of seeing everything through the worldview of Jesus. Seeing everything through that worldview of the revelation of God. That's true wisdom. The world exists for the single purpose of Christ defeating Satan. For Christ showing mercy and grace to us poor sinners, drawing us to faith by word and sacrament. No matter what the news is that we hear on a given day, every event of this world, even the bad stuff, in God's hands is about Him working out His grace purpose to save those whom He has chosen. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter whether our country lives or dies, or whether I have a great career or a great family, or even whether I have the respect of someone living across the street from me. What matters is being included in the number of those who have been sealed in the blood of the Lamb, called and claimed to be Christ's own forever. And with that wisdom, that discerning wisdom, it says, not everything in this world is good for me. Then we can do some arithmetic. In the book of Revelation, the number 7 represents God's perfect dealing with His creation. God's number of 3 and the number 4 of the earth combined in that 7. God working with His creation in perfect holiness. Satan is always the imposter, but never gives up on trying to take God's place. But he can't achieve God's status. He's defeated. So he always stumbles and falls. And therein lies the number six. Stumbling and falling, not being able to achieve that God status. In frustration, he multiplies it by 10 and so adds 60 more stumblings to it. And even frustrated more, he brings that perfection number of 100 against this number 6 and adds 600 more to it. And so his number, the number of this second beast that represents the first beast, that represents Satan, is this number 666. It's testimony to the fact that Satan has been defeated, even as we confess in the words of the Apostles' Creed. So we're wise to this number of 666. It's the number of satanic failing trying to take God's place. 666 is not some kind of computer chip embedded under the skin of my hand or something that some mad scientist is including in a vaccine. 666 is the number of Satan that is proudly worn by the earth dwellers to say, I bear my allegiance to Satan and to his representatives. But we know better because we're the redeemed. And God gives us his wisdom so that we can see the difference. Just before the Bible reading today and the message today, we sang the song, O little flock, fear not the foe. Those who put the Lutheran service book together, the hymnal, they put that underneath hymn number 666. I know a couple of those guys who were on that committee. I can imagine them chuckling as they did that, as just a scoffing at Satan and said, despite your raging woe, we'll trust in God who takes care of us. Jesus, who has defeated Satan so that we might celebrate what is ours in him, in his kingdom, not just for today, but for all the eternity. May the Lord be praised in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.